A few weeks ago, several of us gathered after coffee hour to talk about this gospel lesson. And as I listened to the discussions, I was amazed and I rejoiced in how much hope those who were present felt. I had gotten really caught up in those images of the doomsday preacher or the popular media stories about the end of the world or those televangelists that tell you, you better get things right or else. The words that these doomsday preachers use and the fear that they instill can be so compelling. It is really human that when we read these verses or when we listen to these verses, we can get caught up in things like foreboding and fear and distress and let those dominate, or the images of roaring waves and seas overshadow the words of hope. But hear these words. Look up, your redemption is near. My words will not pass away. To let the negative message overtake the message that even in the midst of life on this earth, we let this message take over and take our breaths away and to cause us fear. But the message is God has the power to break through all of that. Even more, as one of my favorite theologians, Caroline Lewis, writes, when our world, our lives, our churches seem to be breaking apart, to be ending, that is exactly when we can expect God's revelation, God at God's apocalyptic best. And on this first Sunday of Advent, we are setting our focus on one of God's major revelation about God's self. There is a reason why the season of Advent always begins with verses from Scripture that describe great and sometimes terrifying changes. Verses telling us to stay awake, to watch, to wait. These verses point to the coming of the truly wonderful gift in Jesus Christ, a revelation from God about God's very nature. Moving through these weeks in Advent are meant to help us to prepare for the celebration of the birth of a baby. The baby who is God breaking into our world, into our time and space. But it is also to watch for how Christ comes back into this world again. We read these verses today to remind us that we are people waiting with hope for what God has done, for what God is doing, and for what God will continue to do. We read these verses today to remind us that we are people waiting with hope for what God is doing. We read them even in the face of dreadful circumstances, knowing that we dare to hope in a God whose kingdom is near. We dare to hope that when we see the leaves sprout on a fig tree, that it will provide us with fruit. The parable of the fig tree is a concrete example of watching for what is coming next. In our part of the world, there are many examples in nature that we recognize as sign as the next coming season. Right? When we see the robin, we know that we're on the verge of spring. When we see leaves color and fall off the trees, we know that winter is coming. When we see certain flowers fade, we know that autumn is on the horizon. So why does Jesus choose the fig tree and other trees as a sign of things to come? Well, one reason is that a fig tree, most trees really, they take years to bear fruit. Also, when we read through this, we recognize that Jesus is describing the trees as signs pointing to life, right? The leaves are coming back onto the trees. The trees are coming back from being dormant and coming back into life to provide us nourishment. The leaves forming on the fig tree show us that there are great and desirable things coming. This parable reminds us that the kingdom of God is that we're waiting for is life-giving. But we are waiting for it. We are watching for it. And waiting is not easy, especially in today's world where information can be obtained instantaneously, where stores are open 24/7, and even if they're not open 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, you can go to their website and order at any time and have something delivered within a day. If we want a fig, we go to the local grocery store and buy it. We don't plant a tree. Well, most of us don't. I don't. Epictetus, a Greek philosopher who lived shortly after Jesus, wrote, "If you tell me that you desire a fig, I answer you that there must be time. Let it first blossom, then bear fruit, then ripen." The parable of the fig tree, the image that it gives us, embodies the state of waiting in hope. We know that the greatest destroyers of hope are oppression and injustice. And in this world, oppression and injustice are easy to find. But one of the truly amazing gifts from God is that when we live in hope with our hearts focused on the kingdom of God, we are given the ability to see an unjust world and then dream of something better. We are free to imagine the world as God desires, where we act in solidarity with the oppressed, working for change. Living in hope allows us to see the world as it is, but to know that we can work as a creative partner with God, making changes that bring hope to others. We've already done that here. I think about when I walk into this sanctuary and I see the rainbow banners up here, up next to the altar, in a prominent place for everybody to see when they walk through those doors, or when they go onto our website and they read our mission statement. And that in those visuals, in those words, we are telling any person who has been oppressed because of their sexual identity or their gender identity that we stand with them, that we accept and love them for who they are, just for who they are. More so, the message is God also loves and accepts for who we are, just who we are. Seems paradoxical that in a world where the dominant message is to look or act or be a certain way, that we proclaim a love that requires none of society's expectations. Taking it a step further, we profess that none of us are worthy of God's love, yet it is freely and generously given to all. Quite the paradox. So I have a few more paradoxes for us to consider. If you take the size of an atom, and if you then look at the sizes of the protons, the electrons, and the neutrons that make up that atom, it appears that about 90% of an atom is empty space. 100% of everything we see is made up of atoms, yet 99% of that space is empty. Here's another. God is all-powerful and full of glory, yet God enters this world as a vulnerable and requiring the care of human and earthly parents. Jesus is fully God, yet Jesus is fully human. We can live in hope even if the world around us seems hopeless. How can any of that be? Well, in the case of the atom, there are scientists who have found ways to explain that paradox. Ironically, one of the prime explanations is yet another paradox. When it comes to the paradox that we find in Scripture and faith, we are asked to rejoice and bask in the divine mystery, and even to ask ourselves, what other mysteries are coming that we have yet to glimpse? In this Advent season, embrace the mystery, knowing that there are realities that only God understands. Celebrate the mystery, knowing that there is so much more in this universe than we can ever grasp. Savor the paradox, knowing that there is tremendous hope in these mysteries, knowing we can trust that ultimately there is life in the love of God. Amen.